All right, we're live at the WGXC Acra studio with the debut episode of All Together Now, and we're joined in the studio by Ariel Herman from Catskill, and Wes Gillingham is on the phone. Are you there, Wes?
I am here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for calling in, too. And Ariel, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
There is so much going on with pipelines locally. What happened today? You want to tell us about the DEC decision? Or?
Sure. Should we start with a little description of what Pilgrim Pipelines
are? Sure, yeah. Tell people what the subject is. Yeah.
So this is a set of oil pipelines that are proposed to run from Albany, New York, down into New Jersey, down to Linden, New Jersey. They would primarily along the New York State Thruway, which is, as we'll be discussing, a really big piece of the issue. They would be transporting 200,000 barrels per day of crude oil from the North Dakota shale fields
to New Jersey.
Yes.
And then there's refined oil coming back.
Yes. Then another 200,000 barrels per day of finished product
back to Albany.
Yeah. Which could include gasoline, jet fuel, diesel, all kinds of different products.
And Wes, this is one pipeline. And how many pipelines are crisscrossing
this
the area?
A set of two pipelines.
Right. But Wes, how many other pipelines are there?
Well, there's multiple pipeline projects going on in New York right now. The Constitution was just their 401 water quality certificate was denied by the DEC, and we're waiting to see whether industry is going to sue over that. That's a gas pipeline running from Pennsylvania up to Schoharie County. There's the Pilgrim pipelines, which are two pipelines. The Ned pipeline, which was going to be running through New York, parallel to the Constitution for part of its route and off to Massachusetts and beyond. Investors just pulled back their money from that. So Kinder Morgan pulled back from that process. Those are all, you know, good developments. But while that's going on, the town of Buckingham, which is just over the border from Hancock, New York, in Pennsylvania, is selling or giving a lease option to Linden Energy Services for a pipeline coming out of the gas fields near Dimmock in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, to hook into the Millennium Pipeline in Hancock. And then there's the AIM pipeline, which is running natural gas from Pennsylvania through Orange County and Westchester County, right next to Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant, which the DEC and multiple agencies have been asked by the governor to do a risk assessment. The governor has asked for them to stop construction, but that construction is ongoing. They've made their way through the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's process, and that pipeline is being constructed despite some of the objections by the governor and plenty of objections by landowners and people in that route. And the DEC has been ordered by a court recently to have an answer about their Title V air permit about a boiler for tar sands that would load tar sands coming down by rail to the Port of Albany and then be loaded on barges or potentially put in a pipeline to run down to the refinery in New Jersey. So there's a lot of fossil fuel build-out going on right now in New York State, and a lot of attempts and a lot of activism.
A lot of protests, too. There were a bunch of
The general public has this view that instead of spending billions or millions of dollars on all this infrastructure to lock us into fossil fuel, we need to be putting that investment into the renewable.
So there were lots of protests, too, besides the official actions. Yesterday, up and down the thruway at the entrances, Ariel, you were at the Catskill protest?
Yes, there were protests at the New Paltz exit, the Saugerties exit, and the Catskill exits. And even though it was cold and rainy out, there were about 90 people out protesting. We in Catskill, we received a lot of people beeping their horns and giving us a thumbs up. So it's nice to know not just that people are supporting this fight against Pilgrim Pipelines, but even that people know about it. Because I remember not too long ago when I kept trying to talk to people about this, they just looked at me like I had three heads and, you know, it was not on anyone's radar.
Now, you were mentioning to me before we went on the air about the village of Catskill and the special issue with the water in the village of Catskill and how the village of Catskill is not being involved in this process at all, even though the village of Catskill water supply is the pipeline doesn't cross into the village of Catskill, but it crosses right over their water supply. You want to explain that?
Well, that's exactly it. You just did a great job of explaining it. So the village of Catskill has not received any communications, has not been involved in this process at all by the DEC, by the New York State Thruway Authority, or by Pilgrim Pipelines. And yet the sole water supply for the entire village of Catskill is slated to be crossed over by these pipelines. And the feasibility looks very problematic. I actually spoke with the head of the village of Catskill DPW, and he was very concerned about the viability of doing this in any way that could guarantee the safety of our water supply.
Further down, it would go over top of the New York City water supply, but at that point, yes. New York City water supply is several hundred feet below? Or?
It is, but New York City has been involved. New York City,
even though it's several hundred feet below, they've been involved. In Catskill, it's only 3 feet?
It varies between, I think, 3 and 14 feet was the information that I understood. But the city of New York has been involved in this process. They've received all the communications about the process, and they are considered legally and a potentially involved agency. But I actually have the most recent list of involved agencies in front of me right now. The village of Catskill is not on it, and they're in the exact same risk situation as New York City.
Wes, is water supply the most dangerous part of the pipeline, or what would you say is the most potential danger?
Well, all of these pipelines come with multiple issues. So, you know, the construction phase is, you know, has its own set of threats in terms of crossing water courses and wetlands and, you know, creating a construction site in undisturbed areas. And when the pipeline is operational, you know, the biggest fear around that is actually a spill. Pipelines are notorious for having a spill accident go for hours before they're detected by the companies, even though they tout how they've got all this modern technology that can detect pressure ranges and exactly when a spill happens. There's multiple cases around the country where a pipeline has been spewing oil or a waste product from, you know, from the drilling sites for hours before it's detected. It can be a serious threat to the environment. You know, you're talking about a set of pipelines that are just running down the west side of the Hudson. And if they're not, you know, it's not right necessarily right near the shore, it's very close in terms of, you know, a stream crossing and runoff. And this oil, the Bakken oil in particular, is incredibly volatile. So it's not just this gooey stuff, you know, like movie crude oil you would see. This stuff has got butane, ethane, and methane mixed in with it. That's what is the whole fear around the oil trains, is how explosive it is. And if you've got that spill coming out of a pipeline, the protocol for emergency services, if you've got a spill happening on a creek, they actually just let it dissipate, because if they try to go in there, there's so much fumes coming off of the floating mass of oil that it's a explosion danger.
And
that's not scary enough of just toxic danger.
Wes, is there a need for these pipelines, or what's the big picture on the New York's energy picture? Cuomo has this plan to go to 50% renewable soon, and how does the pipelines fit in with that?
I mean, what we're experiencing is in an industry onslaught of trying to get us locked into long-term build-out for us, for their creation of new markets for their product. There's a glut of oil and natural gas right now. The prices are down, and then they need to sell more. So they're trying to build as much as they can and get it to other markets. One of the issues with the NED pipeline and the Constitution pipeline was the fact that they were going to be taking it to Canada and other places for export. So they're just trying to create this new market. and lock us into that for the long term.
And if the Northeast Direct Pipeline was to go through Albany and Rensselaer County to Massachusetts, it was deemed economically unfeasible by the company last week. Are the rest of these pipelines also economically unfeasible?
Well, I mean, again, what you're witnessing is industry in a rush to build this stuff, and they're not necessarily working together with each other. So the Constitution Pipeline, the AIM Pipeline, there was another pipeline that got canned by investors, the Mark V Connector, and then the Dominion Project, which is another one I failed to mention before, where they're taking an old pipeline and just adding new compressor stations to increase their volume. They're all racing to get to market first. The NED pipeline, there were proposals to sell gas to Paraday. It wasn't just going to New England. They were Paraday, an energy company, was going to be exporting out of Canada to Europe and other places. So they're just both competing with each other and trying to rush to get this stuff to market where they can bring their prices up. And that's a real serious issue in that there is the potential because of gas pipelines aren't regulated the way utility power lines are regulated. There aren't constraints for overbuilding, and they could potentially build more gas pipelines than there is existing market or need for a community. And the oil pipeline that Ariel's talking about is that's a direct result of they're just wanting to increase the volumes and the capacity they have to move it. Right now they're not moving as much because of the price, but they were bringing it into Albany, and it was exiting from the Port of Albany via barge and tanker, and they were just wanting to increase the volume that they were moving so that they could send it down via pipeline to places in New Jersey where it could be refined and or exported. They have capacity to load it on ships down there as well. And this whole fallacy that, oh, well, they're going to build the pipeline, then there's not barges on the Hudson, that's not the case at all. They're just looking for increased capacity so where they can get it to other places and raise their prices.
Ariel, we just have 2 minutes left. Can you tell us about the decision that was announced today?
So the DEC announced today that they've made their final decision affirming a co-lead agency on the Pilgrim Pipeline project. That means that the DEC, along with the New York State Thruway Authority, will be leading the review, which most of the towns, villages, and cities along the route have been protesting and have
passed resolutions against.
Passed resolutions against, because there's a clear conflict of interest with the Thruway Authority since they would be receiving lease revenue on the project. And they also just don't have the expertise or capacity to do an environmental review. There's really no legitimate reason for them to be involved.
And tomorrow night, the Kingston Town Board considers a resolution in favor of the legislation in Albany by the assemblyman who wants to stop the Pilgrim Pipeline. You want to tell us about that real quick?
Yes. We need everyone to put their support behind this bill that has been introduced in the New York State Legislature by Assemblyperson Frank Skartatos. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. To prohibit hazardous liquid pipelines in the New York State Thruway right-of-way, and that would essentially put an end to this project, which is so dependent on the New York State Thruway right-of-way access. It's bill number A9831A, and you can contact your assembly person in my area. It's Pete Lopez, and ask him to support this bill. And we also need people to contact their state senators and ask them to introduce a similar bill in the Senate so we can move it forward.
Wes, we have 30 seconds. Do you want to tell us any last notes?
It's ridiculous at this age of climate change and the need to change to renewables that we're going to build the first ever oil pipeline in the state of New York alongside of one of our most national treasures, the Hudson River. How's that for 30 seconds?
That sounds perfect. Thank you both, Wes Gillingham and Ariel Herman, for coming in and talking to us today about the Pilgrim Pipeline, and look at the WGXU newsroom for more information. Thanks again, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wes. All Together Now continues in just a second. Stay tuned to your local news show for more news updates. We'll have public meetings coming up, the weather, the song of the day, and more on your new Creative Community Radio show, All Together Now.